that time.
Yes, I did feel uneasy. The Lord began to deal with my heart. Seemed like I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything. Seemed like God was right there. And I can remember some of the times when we were still playing music. And we would go out and look like the people that were around us. I looked and looked like they began to look strange to me. And the bartender would say, what will you have? The usual? No. I'll drink grapefruit juice this time. Conviction was setting in. Didn't want that old granddad anymore. Conviction was setting in, see? I'll drink grapefruit juice.
Amen.
And I walked outside and looked around and looked up in the sky, and little snowflakes had begun to fall. I said, Lord, if you protect me this night, I'll never come back into another barroom to play music again. Well, I went in and I tried to tell the fellas, I said, it's time to go. I'm leaving this thing alone. Conviction setting in. Didn't know altogether what it was, but I know something was happening. Time for me to leave alone. I got up, going to do my last show, went to open my mouth, and did nothing come out. Praise God. I tried it again, nothing come out. Looked like everything wasn't nothing there. I looked at the drummer and he looked at me and I don't know what's that. I could talk and tell him that, but I got ready to sing again. Nothing come out. So I looked at him and I said, fellas, that's it. You all about to take it with me. I'm gone. I got home that night, Sunday night. I prayed Monday. Without eating or drinking anything. I isolated myself in my little room for 3 days, 3 nights. Monday, Tuesday, when I come out of that room on Wednesday, late Wednesday, I'll never forget it. My wife said, you have any money on you? And I used to lie. Glory to God. I said, I have $37. I said, whoa, something happened. I never would have told him I had $37. But the Lord had done something for me. And I had stopped lying.
Yeah.
I knew then something had happened, Brother Bill. Praise God. Well, this is going to bring me right into the thought I have tonight. But even though the Lord forgave me, even though He delivered me, there still was a consequence that I had to. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Consequences of sin. Every one of us, you do wrong, you're going to pay for it.
That's
all. It doesn't matter the time frame of it. I don't have it in my hand. The Lord has that. When He feels that you have sufficiently paid for what you have done wrong, then He's going to relieve you. But it's always, as David said, he thought about it. He said, my sin is ever before me. Yes. You will never, now God don't remember it, but you will never forget some of the things that you've done.
Yes.
Never forget. It leaves a scar. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But you will never forget the thing that you've done when you're in sin. As a consequence,
yes,
you and I pay for the things we do. I tell the young folks today, be careful. Everything you do, you're going to pay for it.
Yes.
And you're going to pay dearly.
Yes.
Well, preacher, salvation is for old folks.
Yeah.
You know that's what a lot of young folks think? Salvation is for everybody and anybody that want it.
Yes.
If you want to be made heaven, salvation is for you.
Yes.
And I'm telling you something. Salvation would help extend your life longer than what it would if you stayed in sin.
That's
I know that for sure.
Yeah, amen.
people in sin, you look at them, after they stayed in sin a period of time, they begin to look older than what they really are. Sin has a tendency of breaking you down.
Yes, that's so.
It causes you to look older than you really are. The burdens and the pressures and the things of life that sin brings with it, it breaks you down. But yet, people still choose to go the route of sin. You here tonight, and you're not saved. I'm talking to you tonight. And I want you to get a hold of something. Many times we go to services and we see young folks, when they get into service, they'll do something to take their mind off the message. The devil will come along and they'll pass notes and they'll chew their little gum and pop one another and they'll giggle and they'll do thus and so. But I want to tell you tonight, I'll urge you, when you hear the sound of the gospel that comes your way, you pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. And it'll be good for you to ask the Lord, Lord, please, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. News beat me home one time. I was in an accident. Maybe you heard me mention it, but I was in an accident. Maybe about a minute running, after I was doing about 135 miles an hour. Here I am sitting in the back seat. And the word had been preached to me many times. But it seemed like I didn't want anything to do with that. You know, I'm going to get saved one day, and I'm going to take care of business the right way. But right now, I'm living high. I'm high up on the top of things, and get a little popular around town. You've just cut in a recording, and here everybody wants to hear you, and wants to come out and be with you and follow you around. Oh, well, the big time for me now, and I don't have time. Well, one night after a set we've done, and we're driving down the highway and smoking and drinking, and here we're doing about 135 miles an hour and racing with another fella, and you know what happened? He turned in front of us, and the driver lost control of the car. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I begin to count, and that car began to spun around the road. It was going round and round, and every time it hit something, I'd count. I was wondering. It seemed like it was a long space of time in between that time we lost control until the time the car stopped. I don't know. It's something about that. It's something about, even I've heard folks say, I was drowning. And I know it seemed like just come up and go back down, come up and go back down. But listen, they said, I saw everything I ever done come before me. Yeah. It's some way that God has a way of bringing everything before you, and that's a short period of time.
That's
yeah,
sure.
Well, I'm counting. 1 year. 2 years. When we got down to the final hit, where the car stopped, it stopped just about a foot and a half just under one of the railroad boxcars. Had it gone back another foot and a half, I would have lost my head. Then now my head's between my legs. I'm scared. Everything's dark. And the woman on one side and somebody on the other and three or four people, two or three people up in the front, and I could hear moaning and groaning. You knew where I thought I was. And the car was smoking, and I'm smelling smoke too. Oh, yeah. I thought I was in hell. When the Lord blessed me to open my eyes, and I was still on this earth, I come out of that car. They taken everybody to the hospital. News had beat me home that I was killed in an accident. Everybody just head hung down. Oh, he's gone. He's dead. And here I come stepping up. Some folks were scared. My wife, she was, I tell all the time, she was glad as you mad. You know what I'm talking about. She was glad I wasn't dead, but she was mad that I was doing what I was doing. And she would just, you can see tears, you can see madness, you can see happiness again. But I was glad to be alive. is a consequence that people pay when you do wrong.
That's so.
You can take all the chances you want, and you can feel, well, nobody's going to catch me. The scripture says your sin will find you out.
That's so.
Folks, that's real. I believe it. It's going to find you out. It may take a while. It may seem like it's coming up. Don't nobody know what's happening. But up, here it comes. It's like the man in the bed where you try to take the cover and cover up his head, his feet sticking out. Cover up his feet, his head is out. The cover's too short. You're going to be seen. Whatever you're doing, you're going to be seen.
Yeah. Amen.
Tell the young folks, don't get involved in sin. Don't do wrong. Up, here it comes. They're going to tell on you later. There's a penalty.
Amen.
That we pay. And then sometimes folks want to drop their head and want to know why everybody feeling like this way about me. Who did it to you? They didn't do it. You done it to yourself. It is so much easier to humble our hearts and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. And I want you to forgive me. Than to try to cover it up. There's a consequence.
Yes, that's so.
Consequence means to follow after. That which follows from any act, cause, principle, or series of actions. An event or effect produced by some preceding act or cause, a result. Consequence is something that's going to follow you. Now, I'll so much rather that when I got to deal with the consequences of what I've done wrong, I'd rather be in the Lord to deal with it. Because after I get saved and delivered for God, I can go back and take back that ratchet I stole out of the store. And I can go back now and say, sir, I'm willing to pay for this ratchet that I stole years ago. I want you to forgive me. Please, sir, have mercy on me. Well, if I don't do it in the Lord that way, pretty soon you're going to see the red lights down by my house. Here I come out, handcuffed. Then I stand before judge. And when he passed judgment on me right then, he may give me 10 or 15 years. See? There's a consequence.
Yes.
That's a consequence that we follow. One man was down our way and he was speeding and got a speeding ticket. Didn't pay it. In another town, got another. Didn't pay it. He had accumulated 4 tickets. Didn't pay not a one of them. And one day, several years later, he got a parking violation. $15 ticket. When he went up to pay it, the police come right out and put the handcuffs on him and put him in jail. He said, we found out that you got 4 more tickets you didn't pay way back. He said, now the fine's $350. Pay it or go to jail.
Yes, sir.
He come back with his head hung down saying they done me wrong. They done me wrong. They should have forgot those tickets. What do you mean should have forgot them? You got them and you didn't pay for them? They didn't forget them either. Now you see where you are. Some folks think it's a fun thing. Well, I got away from them this time. Woo, I'm smart. Oh, no, you're not. Somewhere down the line, you're going to pay.
Yes,
for that so. Which you have done wrong. Mark it down in any book. Put it anywhere you want. You're going to pay for whatever you have done wrong. And you might as well open up your pocketbook when they catch you. That red light flag you down. There's no need to get the brave now. You ever seen somebody drive without a driver's license and didn't know the cop was right around the corner? You ever seen them try to switch seats with the rider? I have. I've been there. I tried it. Here we caught up in the middle trying to get him. Hurry up and go see him. And then the police pulled him over. He pulled him over and he said, you. Harden pointing at me. Let me see your driver's license. Well, he's driving, officer. Sir, I want to see your license.
Yes, sir.
I saw you made the switch. Knew your mouth wide open now. You know you did. You see what I'm saying? There's a consequence for doing wrong. We're going to get caught right down the line. We might as well face reality and facts about it. Lord, when you catch me, it said that you're going to do about it.
Amen.
Fall out with the preacher. That's what most folks do. I don't like that preacher. He never had anything good to say about me. You remember they said that about Jehoshaphat over there, and he was saying, you got anybody else here that know whether we should go out and fight or not? Yeah, well, that one fellow down there. But I'll tell you, he don't have nothing good to say about me.
Yes, sir.
Hey, fall out with the preachers when the preacher tells the truth. You ought to love the preacher. I said, oh, brother, praise God that God sent you through to help uncover me. I've been hiding, but you found me. And the word went to beating on me. But nevertheless, you fall out with the preacher said, look, I don't even want to hear him.
Yeah.
That's how we get down to picking our preachers. Because I don't want him, because he's going to tell it like it is, really.
That's right.
I want somebody to come in and, you know, kind of sugarcoat it a little bit for me. Lord, help us.
Amen.
I like the whole truth.
Yes, amen.
Got to preach at one time in one place. The fellow called me down and pulled me on a young fella, pulled me down on the side, and he said, I disagree with what you're preaching. I said, you do? I said, well, praise the Lord. If everybody agreed with me, I don't know what would happen. But now I know somebody disagreed, I'd have you to pray more. Help me to look to the Lord more. And what is it that you disagree about? Well, I disagree with this here, and I see it this way, and I don't see it that way. I said, I'll tell you what you do. What's that? I said, why don't you go talk to the Lord about this matter? He the one gave it to me. And now you go see him, and if it's some fault with it, he'll let me know. I haven't heard from him since. Folks don't want to talk to God about it. They want to fall out with the preacher.
Yeah.
See? Well, there's a consequence for the things we do wrong. Genesis, the second chapter. Someone read verse 15 and 17 for me, please. You pray for us tonight.
And the Lord God took the man and put
him. Now, the Lord God took the man. Somebody said one time, we come from the ocean. I don't know where they got that. Well, I'm thankful to know where I come from. The Lord God took the man
and put him into the Garden of Eden.
And put him into the Garden of Eden.
To dress it and to keep it.
To dress it and to keep it. That's where he put him. Had a job for him. To dress it and to keep it. Now, read on.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying.
Now, he gave man a commandment, saying.
Of every tree of the garden.
Of every tree of the garden.
Thou mayest freely eat.
Thou mayest freely eat. Now, that's all right. You can eat anything in the garden you want, but I got some particulars over here I don't want you to touch. Got some things. You know what's been man's problem down through life? Been curious about what he cannot do.
Yeah.
He's not concerned. He already know what he can do. If the Lord didn't have it in the scripture, where we was obligated to one wife, every one of us would have, no doubt, 10 or 15 women around the house. That's right, Brother Bill. We'd have them coming and going. But the Lord, he straightened that thing out when he left and laid the law down. That would be something. But yet in the world today, don't you know folks who want to do that? They want to get as many as they can. The Lord laid them all down. You can go out and get you 7 or 8 wives if you want to. There's a consequence you're going to pay when it comes down to the end of it.
That's so. That is so.
Now, you can go and get as many as you want them. But the Bible says, as long as this one lives, and you be married to another, you're in adultery.
Yes.
Now that's plain as nose on our face.
Yes.
A lot of folks trying to change it. A lot of folks want to come in and want to kind of, well, that wasn't the one that God gave me.
Yeah.
I married her when I was in sin, and now I come to the church.
and we're suffering. And you see, I'm not hardly able to work, and I need somebody to help me. You better seek Jesus. You better seek Jesus.
Yes.
I don't believe, and if it is, God will deal with it. I don't believe it's a minister in the church of God, under the anointing of the Word of God, will tell you why this one is living. You can go get another. Somebody say, well, you ministers don't see eye to eye. Oh, yes, we do.
That's so.
We got that just right. Amen.
Says, I was witness between you and the wife of your youth.
There you go. And for someone to come tell you it's all right, go ahead and marry and get who you want to get, I would want that on my hand. I would rather for you to fall out with me and tell me, preacher, I don't want nothing else to do with you. Thank you, man. Amen. Good day. Than to tell you to go ahead and do it, and I'll end up in trouble in my soul and with God. Who told you, Brother Kimball? What? Who? Let's go see Brother Kimball. Oh, yes. There's a consequence. You overrode the council in the first place and went on and got married because you looked it good to you. You know a lot of folks married because of looks. They didn't get a hold of God. Well, then somebody told them one time, brother, we don't want to just marry anybody. I guess not. But you better get in the face of God. You better see God's mind in what you do.
That's so.
We got a lot to talk about. My wife, she tells me, she said, honey, now remember, these are older people who need to get to bed. I'm trying to remember. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to remember that. She stays on me. She said, now, honey, you pray the Lord help you get to the point and don't hold too long. I said, all right, honey, that's good counsel. I appreciate that. But sometimes, you know, you get the Holy Ghost get to showing you things, and it's hard for me to say, Lord, can you wait till tomorrow? Give a little bit more of this and let him go. But you pray for me. I'm glad to clock back there where the preacher can see it.
Amen.
At least you know what you're about doing. There's a consequence that comes when you and I go opposite of what God said.
That's so.
People in their own minds and hearts want to do what they want to do. Here's where we get into trouble lots of times when the ministers try to instruct and try to tell and try to counsel, and you already got your mind made up what you want to do. That's where the problem comes.
Yes.
And that's why you fall out with the ministers.
That's so.
Most people got their special ministry. You have yours? I hope it's the Holy Ghost. Well, anyway, let's read a little bit more here. You pray that the Lord, the devil will let us steal the thoughts. You pray that the Lord will help me to remember everything that he desires for us to hear tonight. That which he don't desire for us to hear, let him hold that for us. All right, read.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Thou shalt not eat of it.
Thou shalt not eat of it. Now, that was the command.
Yeah.
It was laid out. Simple. Here is, no doubt, all the trees in the garden. You can partake of them. Every one of them. Eat just as much as you want to eat. And just fill your baskets if you want to. But this one tree here, I don't want you to touch it. Don't want you around it. Don't want you to even begin to consider it. The day you do. And the day you die. Commandment was there. The results of the commandment were there. Yet, out of all of that, it still remained. That's the very one that they wanted to tamper with. Can you see something here?
turn to Genesis the third chapter, verse 1. Now let's read the consequence of the thing.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Which
now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field.
Which the Lord God had made.
What the Lord God had made.
And he said unto the woman.
He said unto the woman.
Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree.
Let me say this. It's been noised around many times. I've heard it that brother pastors and preachers are hard on the women folk. I got a woman too. And I believe to show love. I believe that's what God gave it to me for. To love her, for her to help me, for us to work together. And I don't believe in that thing going around, but we're hard on women folk. I like to balance the thing off. And I will say, in both cases, women and men have gotten into trouble with God in many cases.
Yes.
Some of the women being in places that they ought not have been, and some of the fellows listening to where they ought should not have been listening. See? All right? And the woman, the serpent said unto the woman, what did he say?
Yea, have God said,
you
shall not eat of every tree of the
garden. Yea, have God said, you shall not eat of every tree. Well, he had a little mixed up stuff there with him.
Yeah.
God told him you could eat of every tree in the garden. But here, don't mess with this one. He goes and said that God said you couldn't eat of every tree in the garden. Read on.
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it.
I want to leave an instruction if I can. It won't do you any good at all to sit down and try to discuss things with the devil when you know what the Bible teaches about it. When you know what the Word of God teaches, there's no need of you sitting down opening up the door for the devil to come in and sit down and rest and talk with you a while. And you trying to explain things to him. The devil knows what the Bible says. And you don't have to explain to him what to do with it or what God told you. The best answer that you have for the enemy is to rebuke the powers of Satan.
Amen.
All right, read on.
Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
All right.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
Ye shall not surely die.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Well, he inserted a little something in there, didn't he?
Yeah.
He inserted something in there to get her thinking, and she did. She thought about it. But keep in mind, God gave the commandment to Adam before she was born, and he also gave the commandment to her. Now the devil comes along and got a thinking. You ever wanted to buy a new car and you really wanted it in your own heart, you wanted it, and maybe you knew you couldn't afford it, but yet you wanted it and you begin to pray, oh Lord, if you would help me with this, I'd love it. Oh Lord, help me. And then you can find all the reasons why that old car ain't no good anymore. It's rattling, honey. You that thing rattling more than I've ever rattled. The seats are not as comfortable, honey. You got a tear in the seat, the wire sticking out. And you can find more faults with it because you want that new car. See? Even though you can't afford it, you want it anyway. And this thing here has been a good old faithful thing all the way down to the years. Now you read the junk in.
Yeah.
Because your mind and heart, you see that new thing. When Eve looked at what the devil was telling her, she found all the better the reason why she should go ahead and kind of consider what he's saying. Nothing wrong with it. Let me look a little closer here at it. There's a consequence. Read on.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was...
Notice how her appetite changed. When she saw that the tree was good for food, what changed her mind now? She forgot all about now the commandments of God. Young folks, middle-aged, may God help
come in and begin to tell your mind things, you're not going to see it like the Lord has shown you before.
That's all.
You're going to find reasons and excuses. Why? You should go ahead and do what you're doing. Read on.
And that it was pleasant to the eyes.
And it was pleasant to the eyes.
And a tree to be desired.
And a tree to be desired. And I'm getting real close now and got too close. Read on.
She took up the fruit thereof.
She took up the fruit thereof.
And did eat.
And she did eat. Now watch this.
And gave also unto her husband with her.
And gave also to Adam with her.
And he did eat.
I did not hear any argument out of Brother Adam at all. Honey, what have you done? Did you do what the Lord told us not to do? The Bible said she gave to him and he did eat. I don't know. My wife has a way of dealing with me that I don't understand all the time. I hope she don't mind me saying this. Here we was in Florida, and I had the boys with us, and I had gave them some money before they left home, and I told them, I said, now, here's your little spending money, you hang on to it. And when we get on down the way, you don't have to look to me for any more. Well, they went and spent theirs up, pizza and whatever, right quick. Well, when we got down to Florida, my wife, they was wanting to go out that night and eat pizza. Well, I had told them, I said, honey, I said, well, I've given them their money at home. And I don't have any more to give them. And she looked at me in a little old sweet way. And she said to me, she said, that's all right, honey. I just wanted the boys to have something in their pockets when they went out. But I said, that's quite all right. I know what you mean. And that thing began to deal with me. And I sit in the bar and Brother Charles and little, you know, here come my wallet out of my pocket. I looked at her, I said, I don't know what you're doing to me, but you know how to get it out of there. You knows how to get it. See? I'll say that. You sisters, you have a gift from God that God can deal with you. You know how to work on your man. You know how to work on him. I won't accept that you don't know what to do. You do know what to do. And you know how to do it. And as much as he say, I'm not going to do it, you might as well repent, brother, because that's what you do. Amen. I'm not going there that night, honey. Next thing you know, here you are. She knows how to work on you. I'm bringing this point out for us to understand. You can be an encouragement to your man the same way in the things of God. You don't have to let the devil come in and invite you to deal with some other thing and lead him another way. You can be an encouragement to him in God the same way.
That's all.
Amen.
You pray for me. She went to Brother Adam and said, here's the fruit. He did eat. No questions asked. Well, what happened then?
And the eyes of them both were open.
The eyes of them both were open. Read.
And they knew that they were naked.
They knew that they were naked.
And they sewed fig leaves together.
They sewed fig leaves together.
And made themselves
aprons. And made themselves aprons. Read on.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God.
Now they hear God. Now watch something here. When a man does wrong, the first thing the devil brings to his mind after he had called him to do wrong is to hide what you did.
Yeah.
Hide. They heard the voice of the Lord
walking
in the coolness of the day. What did they do?
And Adam and his wife hid themselves.
They hid themselves
from the presence of the Lord.
Now, how do you think we can hide ourselves from God? We have to either be out of our mind or not thinking at all to think that we can hide from the all-seeing eye of God. But people do. People go out at night. Night's made for sleeping. The animal's supposed to crawl around at night. That's the time they need to get out and get their food. But do you know they got some folks sleep all day and roam all night? Yeah, they're going to miss something. to hid himself. Now the Lord began to speak to him. What did he say?
Where art thou?
Where are you? Hiding in the bushes. That's what he worked. Read.
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden.
I heard thy voice in the garden.
And I was afraid.
I was afraid.
Because I was naked.
Because I was naked.
And I hid myself.
And I hid myself.
And he said.
And he said.
Who told thee that thou wast naked?
Who told thee that thou were naked?
Hast thou eaten of the tree?
That the very first thing that God began to deal with, because he knew when they ate of that tree, what would happen? Have thou eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of? And quickly, like many of us do, we blame somebody else. You know the only time, oh Lord, help me to see some things that I wouldn't blame my wife when it was time to deal with our IRS. When it got time to deal with IRS, I always sent her to deal with it. Seemed like I couldn't deal with them. I didn't know how. I just didn't know. And she would go deal with IRS. But if something else comes up and go wrong, then I'll say, thank you. Got to put the blame on somebody. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten the tree? Yes, sir, but it's that woman you gave. God trying to help him. Give him a help me. Give him somebody to help him and work with him. And now he put the blame on the woman. It's that woman you gave. How many times have you blamed your help me for what you've done? How many times have you blamed your help me for your shortcomings? He put it quiet there. The woman you gave.
No.
So what did he tell God? If you had not given me this woman, I wouldn't have done this.
Yeah.
That's basically what he's saying. But yet, he wanted the woman. He has a consequence there. Let's read a little part.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done?
You know, it's one thing about God. I like, he wants to hear everybody's conversation.
Amen.
He didn't just take the man part and stop right there and said, all right, woman, here's what you're going to get. He said, did you eat of it too? See, God deals with everybody on straight faces. You can't blame anybody for your fault. If you do wrong, you can't say, my wife, my children, the preacher. When you stand before God, you're going to have to give an account for your own soul. You cannot come up before God and say, my wife called me to backslide. My wife called me. I did wrong because she didn't cook right or she didn't do this. You can say what you want to say. It's your fault.
Yes, that's so.
I had a woman come to me one time. My wife and I was going over to her house to invite us over to dinner, and I didn't trust her anyway. I just felt funny. You know, some of the things she was saying, I just feel funny. So, my wife went in, and my wife began to, she fixed her dinner, and I'm trying to urge her, I said, honey, take care of it, it's mine too. So, the woman looked at me, she said, you poor thing, you.
Yeah.
She treating you like a dog. I'll fix it for you.
Yeah.
I looked at her, I said, I love her treating me like a dog. Come on, honey. You fix it. Yes, amen. I love her treating me like a dog. Don't you get the funny eyed here. May God help us. I cannot fault for my own mistakes. I can't fault her. Well, I knew how you was treating me. You was treating me like a dog, so I let her continue fixing it for me. know. Amen. See, we'll find fault why we do what we do, and we'll put the blame on someone else. What about this man? She's going to have enough carrying her own false ways. Then we're going to load ours on her too. Well, what happened? He asked her, and then what did she say?
The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, serpent didn't do any talking, did he? Read on.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this.
Now watch now. He took the very last one, and he began to work it right back up to the beginning of it. He said, because thou hast done this. Here comes the consequence of what we're dealing with. Because thou hast done this.
Thou art cursed above all cattle.
Thou art cursed above all cattle.
And above every beast of the
field. Above every beast of the field.
Upon thy belly shalt thou go.
Upon thy belly shall I go.
And thus shalt thou eat.
Thus shalt thou eat.
All the days of thy life.
All the days of thy life. Read on now.
And I will put enmity.
I'm going to put enmity.
Between thee and the woman.
Between thee and the woman.
And between thy seed and her seed.
And between thy seed and her seed.
It shall bruise
and
thy head.
And there are many other thoughts you can get out of this. But I want us to deal with this thought we're dealing with now. Read on.
It shall bruise thy head.
Shall bruise thy head.
And thou shalt bruise his heel.
Thou shalt bruise his heel.
Unto the woman he said.
Now here it comes, sisters. You want to know why? Here it comes. And to the woman he said,
I will greatly multiply.
I will greatly multiply your trouble. Hold it right there. Think about that now. She all the little one now? You see the responsibility that's put upon women now? Because of Eve done doing wrong. That's why children are in the world today. And folks are going around now. Here's where they're using it out with the preacher. People want to go around now and say, well, I don't want any children. I don't want any children. I don't want but one. I gather and say this. You need to seek the Lord to find out how many He wants. And you and I take our hands off it and try to curb it and say, I don't want for this, and I'm going to do something to take care of the problem. Can you see how we alter what God has laid out for you and I to deal with? Because of disobedience, the consequences of it is for women, and they're going to bear children, they're going to multiply their troubles. And children. Man comes along, and he said, well, I don't want but two children. That's quite a change. Well, somebody said, well, I can't afford them, and here, we're just going to try to get two, and that's all I want. I don't want any more. My Lord, may God help you and I to seek the Lord along that line. What saith thou, Lord? Because sin. The consequences of sin has been laid down. The consequence of the wrongdoing that Eve has done. And here it is where it is. I tell people, may God help you in that. You may disagree with it. But I guarantee you, and I'll say this to you, seek the face of the Lord. I cannot find, and may the Lord help me. If it's that, I'd like to find it. Where the Lord begin to deal otherwise. There are so other scriptures that back this up. And it lets you and I know, God did this. This is something God has done. And for you and I to put our hands to it and try to change it to go another way and try to control the children. Well, brother, we got to use wisdom. Told a man one time down our way. He said, we have two and we want to got to use wisdom. I said, all right, then I'll tell you what you do. You and I have an agreement that you're not going to touch her, not at all, and you just stay spiritual and both of you be eunuchs from here on in. Whoa, you can't do that. I said, all right then.
change it. God be with you. Well, he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there at all. He came right on down the line and he dealt with men just like he dealt with the woman. Yes. What did he tell the man?
And unto Adam he said.
Unto Adam he said.
Because thou hast hearkened unto
Because you have hearkened unto your wife.
The voice of thy wife.
What I'm going to do for you.
Thou shalt, let's see. And hast eaten of the tree.
And hast eaten of the tree.
Of which I commanded
thee. Of which I commanded thee, saith.
Thou shalt not eat of it.
Thou shalt not eat of it.
Cursed is the ground for thy
sake. Cursed is the ground for thy sake.
And sorrow shalt
thou eat of it. And sorrow shall what?
Shalt thou eat of it.
Shalt thou eat of it.
All the days of
thy life. All the days of thy life. Read on.
Thorns also.
Thorns also. And thistles.
Shall it bring forth to thee?
Shall it bring forth to thee?
And thou shalt eat the herb of the field.
Thou shalt eat the herb of the field.
And the sweat of thy face.
In the sweat of thy... You want to know why, brother, you got to work? This would be a laziness, wouldn't it? Got a lot of men want to lay up and, you know, and don't want to... Honey, would you call your mother and see if she can help us this month? Will you call your father and tell him what kind of a shape we're in? And many times mother and dad step right in to help you ease the pain. I'll tell you, I said it this way. If you've got a lazy man, you better pray God stir him up and get him out of there and let him go find him a job. And mother and father, quit sending it over and quit helping out all together. Let them know what it's all about. We can spoil many of our children. That's my baby. I know it sure is your baby. And he laying back under the AC.
Did your mother send that package? No, she said she couldn't.
What do you mean she couldn't? See what I'm talking about? You can spoil him so until he can get so spoiled that he don't even know how to go out and do what the scriptures have commanded. Find a job! See how many preachers get run out of town? Did you see what I'm talking about? Fellow don't want to work and you come in here preaching this kind of stuff. You get into trouble. I said earlier, I said I'm going to ask you, do you still love me? Well, that's God. We're going to keep asking this every now and then.
Yeah.
Because I believe, folks, in the truth.
Yeah,
this is what's been taught to me, and I believe it the same way. This is deal with laziness. Down our way, we got a lot of fellows that's lazy, want to send their wives and get on welfare. They want to lay back and come in the back door. And they sure like to live off mom and dad. You know how it is. You know how mom and dad is. They'll help them right away. We'll help them right away. My son called, my youngest son, I called him this morning. He said, Daddy, my oldest son named Rich, he said, Rich is in desperate need. Desperate need. So, I told my wife, I said, honey, call him. Call him to see what's the problem. Got him on the phone. Pop, how you doing? Oh, said mom been saying y'all just can't stay home now, huh? Well, son, you have to do the one tell us to do. Well, Pop, what I was saying was this. Now, he had never told me what he was saying, but he could start off that way. What I was saying was this. And I believe there's a legitimate need there. But his mom and I were on the phone waving. He said, Daddy, I want to get this car, and I almost had it paid for. And I want to get this car, and I want to be able to the weather's going to be cold, and I want to get out, and the little thing that he had during the school time, I want to find me a better job. Me and Mama took him through the ring. We took him through the ring.
Yeah.
Daddy, you can call back and check on me. I said, son, I don't want to have to check on you. I want to be able to trust you. But you know how your father believes. You find a job. Don't. I tell them all the time. I said, don't be a bum. Lay up on somebody. Don't be a bum. Find a job.
There's a responsibility that we carry in our home, and I know lots of times some folks don't do it, some do. But when they get a job at my house, I begin to charge them some rent, some on the food. And if I got to come pick you up and bring you back to work, you got to pay some on the car fare. Some people say, well, he's not making that much. He's going to share what he makes. I want him to learn a responsibility. Because the Lord gave us and handed us down the same responsibility. I want him to learn a responsibility. When you pull up a chair at my table and you got a job, you're going to have to buy the groceries. And these fellows can eat today. They can eat. Praise God. There's a consequence. The consequence has been handed down to us. Because Eve sinned, and I want to say to us today, every decision that you and I make in life, we're going to have to suffer.
That's so.
That's right.
Moses made a good decision. Moses, in his love for the Lord, he would rather suffer. Somebody get that. 11th chapter of Hebrews. I want to read that. By what now?
By faith Moses.
By faith Moses.
When he was come to years.
He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, something got to be wrong with you, Mr. Moses. You choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than when all you got to do is come up here to the big house and live like you want to live? See? You see, Moses, in his love for God, was prompt to make a decision that blessed him in later years. He chose, out of his own free will choosing, I'd rather live for God, I'd rather suffer with the people of God, than enjoy sin for a season.
Yes.
Lord, help us to get some wisdom here. Most people today want to choose the fast lane. And right among us today, we have more people that are not saved. I don't know, maybe they've heard the gospel too much, they don't want to hear it anymore, but you know something? There's something about them that they're still hanging right around the camp. They hang right around the camp. Sometimes I wonder, is that good or bad? Because every time they hear the gospel preached and they reject it, it does something to them. It gets a little harder and you get a little farther. It's good. Somebody's saying, well, I surely want them to keep coming. I do too. But I'm hoping and trusting in God that they'll open up their hearts and say, Lord, I'm ready to be saved.
Yes.
I'm ready to live for you. My wife tells me, well, she's doing herself now. Before she was saved, I hope you don't mind that. Before she was saved, she said on Sunday morning, just like you in the army in my house, get up! Time to move! Lights go to clicking on. All right, service time. Everybody in here today going to church, let's go. All right, Sunday school 9:45. And that's me all up and down the house. Hey, get up, son. Get your shoes. You got your clothes. Get this together. Get that together. She's just like in the service. Well, now, I don't have to worry about it. I lay down, now she get up. All right, everybody get up. Come on, y'all. Hey, man, it's good to have somebody lead you. You see? So now she's the sergeant at home now. You know, many times our children don't want to make a choice to live for God. They don't want to make a choice to go God's way. But I still have another rule in my house. If you're going to stay here under this roof of mine, we go to service here, brother.
Can't
make them big old fellas go to church?
I don't make them, it's by request. You know what I mean? It's by request. I have a way of dealing with my request that they understand. Amen. It's like that with young folks. They want to get off in the fast lane. And if we do not try to teach them what we know is right, they're going to just let them grow up. They're going to do what they want to do. And that's the main time you want to know something. You ever had one of your children to embarrass you? Right then you feel like, ooh, boy, if I could get a hold of you. Why? They embarrassed you. Moses made a wise choice.
Yes, he did.
He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? Because he esteemed the things of God greater riches. He had a respect for what God was dealing with. And he saw that was great riches in the things of God than there were out in sin.
Amen.
Sin brings heartaches, headaches, and trouble.
Yes, that's so.
Some of the things that we are looking at today is because of sin. Quite a bit of the thing. Looking at today because of sin.
Amen.
Young folks, get a hold of this. The decision you make in life. Maybe you feel that I got to leave home because I'm tired of cleaning house. I'm tired of mom and dad telling me I got to be inside for 10:30. I'm growing up now. I ought to be able to stay out later. You know, that's what you had. I don't know if you had it here or not. I had a punishment for my boys this way. I know they don't like to go to church, some of them. There you go. My son said, Daddy, as so long as I'm under the roof of your house, I'm going to do what you tell me. I said, I appreciate that, son.
Sure.
I appreciate that. But I told him, I said, what's the curfew? Boys, y'all going to school? What's the curfew? Well, Daddy, what do you think? I said, while you're going to school, I think 10:30 ought to be a good hour for you to be inside. You got to go to school. You got to get up 5:30 in the morning. I got to see you off, get you off. 10:30 ought to be fair enough. Well, what about the weekend? I said, I'll tell you what. You give me an hour you want to come in on the weekend, and I'll see if I can work with you. Since I picked one, let me hear you pick one. Well, Daddy, how about 1 o'clock? I said, all right. All right, 1 o'clock in the morning? All right. I said, but what happens if you come in here 1 minute after 1? I said, it's punishment time. Well, Daddy, what's going to be our punishment? I said, your punishment is for 3 weeks in a row, you're going to have to go to church every time I go. Ooh-wee. That's cruel. You know what I'm talking about? That's what you think. That's cruel. What's cruel about it? You want to stay out at 1 o'clock in the morning. You want to get me up and down. I can't sleep because I'm worried about you. Worried where you are, what you're involved in, what you're doing. And you tell me it's cruel because I caused you to go to church when you come in past the hour you pick. I said, case closed. That's the way it stands. You ought to see them getting in there. I'll tell you, they'd be trying to get in there on this side of one. Getting in there in a hurry. Why? See, young folks, Lord help us, it seems like God, you don't have time for the Lord right now. Seems like you got so much you want to do. You know, you want to do this and do that. And I tell young people, I say, You know, if I get me a group and set up here on the top of this building and we go to tuning up and go to playing, I say you have more folks everywhere. Why? That's what they want to hear. And some kind of a beat, a drawing. But when we get up and say, the Lord loves you, oh, I sure wish you'd ever sit down. You see, may God help us. You don't have time for God right now. You want to go on and do your thing. You want to get involved in this and get involved in that. And all the preachers are trying to do is trying to save you a lot of headache, heartache, because trouble is going to follow.
Yeah,
when you get into trouble, you know who you're going to look for? That's right. You're going to want the preacher to pray for you.
Amen.
You're going to want the preacher then to counsel you. Now what kind of counsel will that give you? You went out done alone. You got yourself into trouble. Now, what do you want to do? Remember this. There's a consequence that follows everything you do. I'll say to you tonight, if the Lord has opened up something to you and you have seen some areas where you could do better in your walk with God, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'll urge you, don't leave the building until you get some good in your soul. You might say to me, preacher, I'm not ready. And then I'm going to say back to you, when are you going to be ready? The devil will never let you get ready. And you'll go on and on procrastinating, saying, I'm going to get ready, and I'm going to get ready, I'm going to get ready. I don't intend to be lost. And a lot of folks lose their soul because they didn't intend to be lost. But my parents preached to me all the time, you ought to love it. Amen. You ought to love to hear them preach to you. They're only trying to tell you the truth. And it's something about, I'm going to say this and sit down, and when an individual gets saved, they want to know what took you so long to tell us. Why did it take so long? What do you think we've been trying to tell you? Sin is destructive. It's destroying. If you're here tonight and you're in sin, run for your life. Get out of that awful pit. Give your heart to the Lord. And the Lord will bless you.